Our first reading this morning comes from the book of Acts. We'll be reading from chapter 9 of the book of Acts. We'll begin at verse 36 and we'll read down to verse 43. It is found on page 956 of your pew Bibles. This time let us listen to God's word for us. Now there was at Joppa a disciple named Tabitha, which means Dorcas. She was full of good works and acts of charity. In those days she fell sick and died, and when they had washed her, they laid her in the upper room. Since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples, hearing that Peter was there, sent two men to him, entreating him, "Please come to us without delay." So Peter rose and went with them. And when he had come, they took him to the upper room. All the widows stood beside him, weeping and showing tunics and other garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. But Peter put them all aside outside and knelt down and prayed. Then turning to the body, said, "Tabitha, rise." And she opened her eyes. And when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and lifted her up. Then calling the saints and widows, he presented her alive. And it became known throughout all Joppa. And many believed in the Lord. And he stayed in Joppa for many days with one Simon, a tanner. Our second reading comes from the Gospel of John. We'll be reading from chapter 10 of John's Gospel, verses 22 through 30, and it is found on page 934 of your pew Bibles. Again, let us listen to God's word for us. It was the feast of the dedication at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. So the Jews gathered round him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness to me. But you do not believe because you do not belong to my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and no one shall snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one." It's the word of the Lord. I was reading the other day where a man decided his wife was getting hard of hearing. So he called her doctor to make an appointment to have her hearing checked. And the doctor said that he could see her in 2 weeks, but meanwhile there was a simple, informal test the husband could do to give the doctor some idea of the dimension of the problem. "Here's what you do," he said. "Stand about 40 feet away from her and speak in a normal conversational tone and see if she hears you. If not, go to 30 feet, then 20 feet, and so on until you get a response." So that evening, his wife was in the kitchen cooking dinner, and he was in the living room, and the man says to himself, "I'm about 40 feet away. Let's see what happens." And so he says, "Honey, what's for dinner?" In a conversational tone. And there was no response. So he moves to the other side of the room, about 30 feet away. And again, "Honey, what's for dinner?" And there's no response. So he moves into the dining room about 20 feet away. Again, "Honey, what's for dinner?" And no response. And he then goes to the kitchen door about 10 feet away. "Honey, what's for dinner?" No response. And so he walks right up behind her. And he says, "Honey, what's for dinner?" And his wife turns around and says, "For the fifth time, chicken." (Laughter) I suspect that we've all been where that man is in that joke. We often believe that it's other people who have difficulty in hearing, when the truth is that it may very well be ourselves who are hard of hearing. We sometimes fail to hear because we often fail to listen. We tune some voices out even as we are tuning some voices in. Some voices we do not hear because we consider them to be insignificant voices, voices that don't quite meet our expectations. Sometimes we tune people out because we don't want to hear the particular perspective that they might bring. And sometimes we tune people out because we just don't consider them at all. And so one of the questions that we might ask ourselves is, whose voice is it that we listen to? We don't listen to everyone. We have a cacophony of voices that are constantly assaulting us, but whose voice do we listen to? Some of us listen to certain voices, some of us tune out certain voices, but whose voice do we listen to? I was reading recently the story of Dr. Ignaz Semmelweis. You probably have never heard of him, but history has dubbed him as the savior of mothers. He was a physician who served at a maternity clinic in Vienna in 1847. And at that time, the rate of infection associated with giving birth was quite high and often proved deadly for both mother and child. But Dr. Semmelweis's great contribution to medicine was that he was the one who discovered the germ theory, the notion that infection was passed on from patient to patient and from mother to child through the transference of microscopic germs. Now, that's common knowledge to us today, but at the time, it was a revolutionary notion. And so Dr. Semmelweis introduced the simple procedure of having his medical staff in his clinic to regularly wash their hands after seeing each patient. And the rate of infection dropped significantly. It was a brilliant discovery. The problem was that at the time, his colleagues in the medical establishment refused to accept his findings. They refused to believe him, in part because they just couldn't accept the fact that medical professionals like themselves were the ones who were responsible for the transference of germs from patient to patient. They refused to believe it. And so they refused to hear his voice. They refused to listen to him. It was only after his untimely death in an insane asylum, because of the difficulties of being denied and ignored, that his discovery became common knowledge in the medical establishment. And we do what we do today, wash our hands, particularly make sure that our medical clinics and hospitals are places where doctors examine and observe the necessary protocols to stop germs from spreading. But at the time, no one listened. No one would hear his voice. And so whose voice do you listen to? Whose voice do you hear? We are here this morning, of course, because we listen to the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is what we say. That is why we are here. It is His voice that we are called to listen to. But that's easier said than done. Oftentimes we drown out the voice of the Lord with other voices. Political voices, cultural voices, social voices, commercial voices. There are all kinds of voices in our heads, all kinds of voices that we often listen to that drowned out the voice of the Lord. But we are called to listen to His voice, to listen to the voice of Jesus. Our text this morning from the Gospel of John takes place during what we call today as the season of Hanukkah, the Jewish celebration from foreign domination. And we are told that Jesus is walking along the portico of Solomon when He is confronted by the Jews. And we need to be careful here, because John often uses the broad ethnic term Jew to refer to the Jewish religious and political leadership of Jesus' day. I say we need to be careful because we have a history within Christianity of anti-Judaism and anti-Semitism. And we need to remember that in the early church, that all of the followers of Jesus were Jews, as Jesus Himself was a Jew. And so we need to be careful of that and mindful of that. But John tells us that the Jews come to Jesus, the Jewish leaders, and they want to know, they ask Him, tell us plainly, who are you? Are you the Christ? Are you the Messiah? And we need to be clear what they're asking. They're not asking Jesus if He is divine. What they are asking is if He is the King of Israel. Is He the great shepherd leader like David that they've all been waiting for? Is He the one who is going to restore the kingdom to Israel and make Israel great again? Is He the one? That's what they're asking. And Jesus responds by telling them, in effect, I've told you already. Not only have I told you who I am, but I have showed you who I am through my works, through the signs and wonders that I have been performing. But you refuse to believe. You refuse to hear what I'm telling you. And of course, the reason that they refused to believe and to hear is because they had in their minds a whole understanding of what that shepherd king would look like, of what the Messiah, the Christ, would look like. And Jesus didn't quite fit the bill. They had in their mind a shepherd leader who would be charismatic, who would be a no-nonsense, get-things-done kind of person, someone who would beat up their enemies and who would do the kinds of things that they were anticipating a Messiah to do, to cleanse the temple, to throw the Romans out of the Holy Land. And so they refused to listen to what Jesus was saying. They refused to hear Him when He said that I am the way and the truth and the life. They refused to hear Him when He said that I am the good shepherd. They refused to hear Him when He said that He is the bread of life. They refused to hear all of that because they had in their minds a whole different understanding of what the King, the Messiah, the shepherd would look like. But Jesus tells them, I do have sheep. My sheep listen to me. My sheep, He tells them, hear my voice. In the Bible, the people were often referred to as sheep, sheep in need of a shepherd. And there were good shepherds and there were bad shepherds. But Jesus wants the people to know that he is a good shepherd. He is the good shepherd. And I've never been personally enamored with being likened to a sheep, because sheep are not the smartest animals in the world. They get lost easily. They are scattered easily. They will even follow each other off a cliff. And we human beings would tend to like to think of ourselves as being a little smarter than sheep, and in a certain sense we are. But I suspect that we are more like sheep than we care to admit. We get lost easily. We are scattered easily. We all need a shepherd. We need voices that resonate with us, voices to listen to, voices that will guide us and lead us and direct us. We need good shepherds, a shepherd that will lead us to green pastures and still waters. We all need that. The question is, what kind of shepherd will we listen to? Whose voice will we listen to? Whose voice will we hear? In our worship meeting last week, we were talking about some of the confessions of the Presbyterian Church. We Presbyterians, are, as part of the Reformed tradition, are a confessional church, and we have a book of confessions that help to guide us and lead us into the life of faith. And one of the confessions that we say here every first Sunday is the Apostles' Creed. We recite that confession together. But we were talking about confessions in the worship committee, and I thought it was interesting because as I was thinking about this passage this morning, our passage this morning, I was reading early last week one of the confessions in our book of confessions, the Barman Declaration. And it was written in 1934 in Germany as the Nazis and Adolf Hitler were coming to power. And we need to remember that at that time in Germany, that almost all of the Germans were supporting Hitler. They were supporting the Nazis. Everyone in Germany, for the most part, supported Hitler. They supported the Nazis, including Christians in Germany. Many Christians supported the Nazis. Many prominent German theologians supported Hitler. There was even a group called the German Christians, who began to hold conferences. And one of the conferences that they held in April of 1933 was a conference in which they come up with the slogan that said, Adolf Hitler appeals to the church, and the church has to hear his voice. The church has to hear his call. That's what Christians said in Germany in 1933. That as a church, we must hear the call of our leader. We must hear the call, the voice of Hitler. And the reason they said that, of course, is because they were looking for a shepherd, a strong leader, someone who would lead them, someone who would empower them in those waning, difficult years after the First World War. And it was in answer to these Christians that the Barman Declaration was written. And the declaration stated, in effect, that no, it is not Hitler. It is not the state. It is not the nation. It is not blood. It is not race. It is not culture that we are called to listen to. But Jesus Christ, as he has attested to us in the Holy Scripture, is the one word of God whom we have to hear, and whom we have to trust and obey in life and in death. Many of the authors who wrote that confession were either exiled, imprisoned, or killed. But they knew the voice of their shepherd. They knew the voice of the Master. They knew the voice of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in a difficult point in the history of our nation, of their nation. Today, of course, we hear all kinds of voices. Today, even in the midst of a political year, there are various voices that we might be tempted to hear. There are voices of hatred. There are voices of fear. There are voices of resentment. There are voices of division. There are all kinds of voices that are out there. Those voices have always been in our society. They have always been a part of our political process. They've always been there. But they are there this year in a very strident way. But they've always been there. And our political establishment has sometimes listened to those voices and played up those voices in order to achieve various political goals, both sides of the political aisle. We've done that in this country. We have listened to our fears. We've listened to our hatreds. We have listened to our resentments. And we have listened to shepherds who have fed us those fears and those resentments. But you and I are here this morning because we hear a different voice. You and I are here this morning because we listen to a different shepherd. We hear the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. We hear the voice of the one who is calling us to come and to follow him. We listen to a voice who is calling us to be a different kind of people than what we see out into the world. Jesus came to point to a different direction. He came to show us a different way of life. He came to show us that the secret of life is our willingness to give our lives away. He came to show us that sacrifice leads to new life and that dying leads to resurrection. He came to show us signs and wonders that point to a different way of life, that points to the heart of God. Signs and wonders that show us the love of God. He came to show us what it means to be real human beings made in the image of God. And Jesus says that we, his sheep, we know, we hear, we listen to his voice. I wonder how well this morning that we listen to that voice. I wonder how faithful we are. I wonder if we might not be tempted to listen to the other voices. Our Reformed tradition has always told us that the biggest threat to our Christian faith is not atheism, but has always reminded us that the biggest threat to the Christian faith, to our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, our faith in God, is idolatry. Our willingness to hear and to place something else at the center of our lives. Something else that we are tempted to worship. Sometimes that might be the nation. Sometimes it might be cultural voices that we hear. Sometimes it might be things like race and ethnicity. Sometimes it might be money or fame and celebrity. There's all kinds of things that we are willing to put at the center of our lives. All kinds of voices that we are tempted to hear and to listen to. All kinds of idols that we think give our lives meaning and purpose. That if we just hear those voices and listen to those voices, we can be somebody. We can be the kind of people that other people respect. But Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice." He is calling us out of this world. Out of the world of those cacophony of voices that would seek to lead us astray. Our good shepherd is calling us into the heart of God's love, calling us to follow him, calling us to be like him, calling us to be moved by his Spirit. My sheep, he says, hear my voice. Do you hear it this morning? Do you hear the voice of Jesus calling you? Do you hear Jesus calling you out of this world? Do you hear Jesus calling you for something else, something different, something more than the world could ever give you? He is calling you to follow him. He is calling you to lead you into abundant life, eternal life, real life, because it is a life of love. Do you hear him? Do you hear that voice? Are you listening for it? Can you hear it? Listen for it, because it is there. My sheep, says Jesus, hear my voice. I pray that we will continue to hear the one voice that really matters, the voice of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because it's the only voice that leads to life. Let us pray. Eternal God, you have called us to be a different kind of people. In the midst of a world where we hear all kinds of voices, in the midst of a country where we hear strident voices, where we hear confident voices that would seek to take us this place or that, you have reminded us that you are indeed the Good Shepherd. You have called us to follow you, to put our faith and trust in you. You have reminded us that you are our King. You are the King of Israel. You are the King of the entire world. You are the King who are calling us to follow you. Help us to follow you. Help us to listen. Help us to drown out those other voices in our world that tempt us away from you, so that we might be led into life everlasting. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.